The days are longer, the calendar is filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grüns. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, so I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing, they're easy to toss in my bag on the go, plus they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA and FSA, eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grüns.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Following 14 years of collaboration between international societies and patient groups spanning 6 continents, polycystic ovary syndrome has now been renamed polyendocrine metabolic ovarian syndrome, and the renaming was spearheaded by the endocrinologist Professor Helena Teed, the director of Melbourne's Monash Centre for Health Research and Implementation, and she joins me on the line now. Professor, you're very welcome to News Talk Breakfast. So I know from speaking to people, women who had PCOS, over the years they felt it was dismissed unless they were trying to get pregnant. Do you think the old name contributed to doctors seeing this as a mainly fertility issue rather than a serious metabolic condition? And should this name change address that problem?
Yes, absolutely. And it's not just a name change, which is really important. It's a whole recategorization of the disorder. So what often people don't appreciate is when you have a particular name, so first of all, there are no abnormal cysts on this condition. And secondly, it's not a primary ovarian disorder. So calling it polycystic ovary syndrome is completely incorrect. But what happened was it was then put in the box or category of an ovary or infertility disorder. So all of the research and grants on this condition have only addressed that. All of the medical education primarily focuses on that. So it's often only our gynecologists who learn much about it, and all they learn about is the ovary aspects. So it's actually the whole cascade in the system that's wrong. By renaming it and then recategorizing it to an endocrine or hormonal messenger imbalance condition, where those hormones affect the whole body, completely changes all of that. The grants and research address the broader aspects. We've never had a new medication specifically for this condition. The grants and funding will now allow us to do that. We then get new evidence. The education is spread across all the areas that need it. And women, quite rightly, have been incredibly frustrated about misdiagnosis, dismissal, not getting heard about their broader concerns, quite literally because the whole disease was in the wrong box, which basically meant that no evidence, no guidelines, very inadequate education and inadequate recognition of the condition, not just linked to the name, but also to the category.
Yeah, it's incredible to think that there was such a mistake being made and it's taken nearly 15 years to get this changed. Could this alter how GPs and specialists approach the treatment of this condition?
It will, but not overnight. So whilst this was a mammoth effort and 22,000 people participated, a woman's not going to walk into their doctor's surgery tomorrow and everything's going to be different. Having said that, the media on this has reached 438 million so far. So hopefully that includes many of the doctors. But in all fairness, it's going to take us a while to cascade, which is why there's a transition period of 3 years. And over that time, there'll be a very dramatic change in policy, education, research, training, awareness, resources and tools, both for those who are affected and for the health professionals. And yes, it will mean people like cardiologists and people who manage diabetes will be much more aware of the condition. Psychologists and people who deal with mental health. Dermatologists will look beyond just the skin effects, and the infertility specialists will consider much broader features. So yes, it will happen. But we're not naive enough to think it's going to happen overnight. And there's a very detailed, well-funded global program that follows this to make sure we make the biggest difference we can.
Okay, Professor Helena Teed, thank you for that. Not a change overnight, but certainly a step in the right direction for anybody who has suffered with that condition over the years.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.